Given the schedule that playwright Jen Silverman is on this season, it's kind of amazing that she could be here for this conversation. Her works, most of them fully focused on women as central characters, have been staged this year in Baltimore, at South Coast Rep, in San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and off-Broadway. Cincinnati audiences are the first to see her new play, All the Roads Home, currently previewing its world premiere at the Cincinnati Playhouse. Welcome to the WVXU studio, Jen.
Thank you.
Your play is a very interesting one. It is a coming-of-age story times three. A young woman in the 1950s, her daughter in the 1970s, and her granddaughter in the here and now of, I guess it's the real close to now, 2012, I think maybe it says in the script. They each hail from and wish to escape the claustrophobic surroundings of a small town in Massachusetts. Madeline, the one who's in the 1950s, a young woman, steals away to New York City with dreams of becoming a dancer. Her daughter, Max, ponders running off to San Francisco in search of some undefined freedom that she is yearning for. And then her granddaughter, whose name is Nix, that's a nickname for Phoenix, is on the road as a touring musician, chasing her dreams, feeling more loneliness than happiness. Your play's title, All the Roads Home, suggests that each young woman finds her way back where she started, but her perceptions of her life, of their lives, are changed by their experiences. Does that make sense? Am I describing that properly?
Yes, absolutely. I think the thing I would add to it is that the play perhaps ends with a question of what does it mean to be home, or do they find their way home?
Yes. So why did you decide to tell this story? It's such an interesting structure. It's three segments. They're in chronological order. Each one really evokes a period. I loved what I read in your playwright's note. You said we were talking about the characters and how they're portrayed, and you didn't want them to be played in a sort of an amateurish, childish way when they are young. And you said every moment, especially the farthest past, is so present tense that it burns. So talk a little bit about this three-segment structure that you've created.
Sure. I mean, I think I am and have been for a long time really interested in questions of legacy and how things get passed down through a family, especially the things that sort of aren't articulated or can't be articulated, or impulses that are so deeply buried in the family DNA that you can't necessarily warn your children about them. And I think every family has its set of impulses. And this play for me was about sort of unpacking the impulse toward freedom or sort of the search for a more authentic self. And what does that mean? You know, even on a personal level, what does that mean for me versus what it meant for my grandmother?
You know, You have really done a wonderful job. I say this having read your script, not having seen it since it is just in previews this weekend, but in evoking each of the periods, it seems to me, I'm of an age where I would have more or less matched up with Max. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I thought that period was great. But the period that Madeline, the grandmother, lives in and goes to New York City relates to her more conservative sister in some slightly amusing ways, and then some difficult ways too. But, you know, each one of those, and then the one that's the present, some very different issues arise in that. How did you decide how you were going to portray those periods and put those people in? I mean, did you do research about the eras and that sort of thing?
I did. I did some research. But sort of at a certain point, it became really clear to me that I was trying to keep my focus more than ever on these characters and what their needs were and how, in some ways, present tense and fresh those needs are. And so, of course, I wanted the details that I used to be specific and accurate. But there's the moment, you know, I think in every play that is not set in this current time period where you either have to like go all the way down the history rabbit hole or you pull yourself back and stay focused. Mm-hmm. And Lee and I have talked with the actors even about this not being a memory play, you know, which comes back to the present tense burning,
yes,
you know,
yes,
thing. But that this really has to feel as present as it can in every moment.
The play, the structure, while it may sound straightforward as I've described it, there are some things about it. For instance, Nix is a musician, and we hear some of her music at other moments during the other characters' stories. And so there is sort of a blending of periods, a connectedness between them, I guess I would say. You and your director, Lee Sunday Evans, have consciously assembled a really diverse cast, which I think is quite intriguing. There's only four people in this, and so in the three different sections, they play various characters. So I wonder if you could talk about it, because they, as I understand it, the actors who are playing these roles, they don't really look like relatives to one another. In fact, people might be slightly confused by this. What is the purpose in the diverse casting?
It's very conscious. I would say in general that in this play, particularly, casting is a huge part of the storytelling and a huge part of how that story gets told. So to answer your question first, to us, this is a play that is as universal as it is specific, that it is about families. We will follow the story of this one family, but we wanted to really look at sort of this question across a variety of families and invite many people to see themselves in this, as opposed to having it be hyper-naturalistic in its focus, as opposed to saying, for example, this is only about a white family. And we feel that just as the actors portray multiple characters and the audience is invited into that journey of transformation, we thought that there is room to invite an audience into a play in which not everyone has to look identically the same for them to be related and to be telling a story.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a very conscious decision on your part to have four actors, three women and one man, play quite a wide array of roles.
Yes.
In fact, a very interesting fantasy role, which I won't go into right now, but people will be entertained by that. And why did you decide to do it that way?
You know, it's funny because there is a really specific math to that doubling, and it took me a while to figure it out. There was a version in the very first draft where I thought, like, well, why don't we just have a bunch of different actors, you know, like seven actors or whatever. But once I started really distilling it and looking at who gets to play what character when, you really follow those journeys much more clearly and in a much deeper way. For example, the actor who plays the elder sister of this character, Madeline, in the next part then plays Madeline's daughter. And so we trace family lineage, we trace family memory in a way that is both narrative and then visual and visceral.
I want to ask you, what attracted you to these stories about mothers and daughters? In an interview that I read that you did with American Theater, it was suggested that you won't write the same play twice. And I wonder how All the Roads Home differs from your other work. Can you talk a little bit about that? Are mothers and daughters a thread that does run through other works? Or is this a, sort of a new area for you to explore?
I think it's fair to say that I would hope not to write the same play twice in the same way twice. Mm-hmm. But I think that, of course, every playwright has his or her bag of obsessions, and you know, and I have mine, and I'm particularly interested in family relationships, mm-hmm. And mothers and daughters being one of those familial relationships that's so complicated and laden and interesting to me. I think All the Roads Home is very different from my other work in its structure and form, in the way that it uses music. Not that it uses music, but in the way it does. And I think that there is, how do I say this? Like the passage of time in this play is something that I have not ever played with in quite this way before, where it is both, the trick is both the extent of time that passes and also, as we were talking about, that it is three coming-of-age stories as opposed to a coming-of-age story and two memories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fascinating one. I also, you've said that you want audiences to have fun watching this show.
Yes.
And there is, I think, some wonderful humor and music woven into it. There is this one fantasy character, and in the third section, three siblings from a rather unorthodox family. And so it is fun. I do your other plays, and I the one that I've seen, there was some humor in it, but is humor something that you don't always use in your plays?
I don't think that everything I write is a comedy, but I think there's always humor in it, and a particularly sometimes a dark sense of humor to it.
Something that draws people in, though, I think.
Yes, I guess. And also, I just think that that's, for me, the way that I access the world is with a sense of humor, and particularly things that are painful or difficult. I think that an audience experiences the truth of them often when they're invited to laugh.
Well, if you out there listening are hoping to experience the insights that will come from a show like this, you can find more information about the Cincinnati Playhouse's production of Jen Silverman's All the Roads Home, which is opening this coming Thursday. It's in previews this weekend. And you can get more by following the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Jen Silverman about her world premiere. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.